peanuts, jelly, popcorn, a big belly. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with a thought for today about a big belly. Now, how many people do you know who have big bellies? And if you know anybody who has a big belly, then you can be sure you have one too. Because you always see in other people who and what you are. And if you look at a person who is a little opulent, and you are a little opulent, you just say, sure feels good, doesn't it? You never make a negative comment about it. And really, that's quite nice. Now, yes, no complaints. And so, how do you handle going through life, being yourself and having fun and having a pot belly? Because surely there's going to be somebody in your world you're going to see who doesn't have a pot belly, and they're going to look at you and think that you have one. Now, remember when it used to be a beer belly? Remember? It wasn't too long ago. It used to be a beer belly, but now it's just a pot belly. And what does the beer belly mean? It meant that a person was a very jolly, happy person who liked beer and all the things that went with it, and was always a party boy, and his wife was usually a party girl. They usually went in teams, and they were very happy. They loved each other, and they recognized each other, were abundantly beautiful people, and they never judged one another, and they never judged anybody else in their world. Wherever they went, they always found people who were just like them. And fun. Now, whenever we forget and we start looking at someone who's a little heavier than we are, and we say, oh boy, they're heavy, you can be sure it won't be too long and we'll be right there with them. Because whatever we observe, whatever we name and claim, that's what we experience. Now, I would like to suggest that we all take out our special books and begin writing in there what we really want to name and claim. Now, do you want to name and claim a pot belly? And you say, well, hardly. Now, do you want to name and claim perfect health? Sounds nice. Perfect health is pretty perfect. And to have perfect health, it's not really something that is easy done. Oh, that's true. How about living with adequate finances and abundance, where you can buy whatever you choose to buy when you want to choose to buy it, you know? You want to go down and buy a place on the ocean and a nice place to enjoy yourself, you do it. Or you want to go and get into a limousine and have it be yours, or have it be yours to use whenever you want it. You know, the world is getting difficult and more difficult. The airlines are cutting out their flights, cutting down their use of their airplanes to cut down gas consumption and other things like that. And so the active rich, not the idle rich, but the active rich are buying their own private jet airliners to fly them wherever they want to go, when they want to go, without the second thought. Now, you see, how can they do that? How can these people go out and buy airliners, you know, beautiful Lear jets and things like that, to pop them around the world and into beautiful places? And how can they afford to have $5,000 a night hotels, you know, and these, and some even more than that, you know, out in New Arby, whatever you pronounce the plane. But how do they do it? Well, you see, they have money, and so they spend money. You don't have money, so you don't spend it. So maybe it's time you start spending money. Now, I get after Ingeborg. I say, Ingeborg, when you go to the store, buy what you like. Buy what you like. And she says, oh, I found these tennis shoes, and they're cheaper, and they're on sale. And I said, Ingeborg, throw them in the trash. I want you to buy something that feels good on your feet, and you like, and you respect, and you think it's wonderful. But they are wonderful. They do feel good on my feet. Well, then stop saying you got a bargain. I'm not interested in your bargain. I'm interested in you having a pair of shoes that are absolutely perfect for you. Now, you know, there's no limit on what you spend. You're not going to buy them gold laced, of course, but there's no limit. You just buy a beautiful pair of shoes that fit. We say the same thing to Sylvia here. And Sylvia always goes out and buys a little tent. She thinks little tents are the most comfortable things in the world. And so she wears these little tents, and she buys one little tent after another. And she has a closet full of little tents. And I say, Sylvia, why don't you really go out and get something really classy that shows off your breasts and shows off your figure and, you know, shows off your legs and so forth? Something that has a beautiful suit dress or a beautiful something that really is. And she says, but I got to wear it. You don't. And I'm not comfortable in those things. And so I said, all right, you have to do what you're comfortable in. So I read to Sylvia from Fortune magazine, unfortunately, or was it National Geographic? And it said the Bakwa, like the llamas, the those sheep in Tibet. And but the Bakwa is V-A-C-U-A, something like that. It has the rarest, finest wool in the world. And they only get a few ounces off of each one every year when they shear them. And to make a sweater from that, the minimum price was what?
$5,000.
$5,800, something like that. The minimum price, just for a sweater. But,
Well,
I thought it was more, but anyhow, it doesn't matter. But it feels wonderful. It feels so good. You put your face next to it, and you never want to take it away, you know. And but they have only so much, because they can have only so much wool. And so the price is there. And I'm sure now that they've spoke about it in National Geographic or the Fortune, whichever magazine they had it in, the demand is going to be even more there. And these people who buy their own Learjets and so forth are going to buy it for their wife. But the thing is, as soon as they put their head on their wife's shoulder, wearing that beautiful sweater, they will make sure they get one for themselves. And then, for each of their six children, you know. Because, I mean, if you're going to go quality, why should only one member of the family have something so beautiful and so wonderful? But you see, they think in that realm. They think in the realm of abundance. They think in the realm of doing it. And now, isn't it idiotic? Isn't it the silliest thing you ever heard for people to own eight houses? In Paris, in Spain, in South America, in California, in New York, and on and on. How can you ever begin to enjoy those houses? And you keep a staff of servants in the houses, so the houses are always ready for you when you want to come there. So the husband goes to New York on business, and he stays in his house for maybe 2 or 3 days, you know. Mm-hmm. Then he's off to Paris, and he stays in his house. Then he's off to Spain or wherever, and he's maybe off to Tibet, you know. He's got a little lamasery up in the mountains there. And, you know, they can afford it. But it just does them so good to say they have these things. Now, you can have those things too. And you can have them just by saying you have them. And when you say you have them, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in that same thing. But you see, you have a little extra that the owner doesn't have. And what is that little extra that he doesn't have? You don't have to take care of it. You can visualize yourself living in the house. You know, you can. I say to Anita, Anita, visualize what your mother is doing right now in the living room watching TV. What's she doing? And she just says, oh, she's opened up a box of candy, and she's sitting there, and she's watching TV, and she's watching these info commercials, and she's thinking to herself, what silly info commercials, as she watches it, you know. And she knows, she's right there with her. She's as much there as if she were there in person. In fact, even more so. Because in person, she wouldn't allow herself to think those silly thoughts about her mother. But you see, this is what we do. And we are anywhere we want to be. How would you visualize a beautiful Spanish castle? That's your castle. How would you visualize it? Well, personally, I'd visualize it absolutely modern. I'd visualize it with carpeted floors. I'd visualize it with heating. It's, you know,
central heating.
Central heating, that's the word. And it's central heating. We've not been heading that for so long, I forget about it. So, central heating and a swimming pool indoors and outdoors, you know. And the swimming pools meet indoors and outdoors. There's a little block in between. You can swim back and forth, you know. And it's just wonderful. And you're private. You're up in the middle of, you know, your own little mountaintop. And you have your little tram that takes you down into the center of town. You just jump into your little thing, and at the center of town is your Jaguar, Bentley, Mercedes, or whatever you cruise around with, and it's there. Now, why not? And Heinz, what does he say? Heinz Ertle, he says, I like living up here in our mountain cabin. Mountain cabin is a palace, you know. And so, what does he do? He drives a beautiful Saab, I think it is, a beautiful convertible Saab, the upgraded model. And so Stefan, who does not think big as far as dollars go yet, he looked at his little car and he says, now, when you go back to New Zealand, I'll buy that from you. And so Heinz says, I'm not sure. I think I'll have you take care of it for me while I'm gone. Mm-hmm. Now, if Stefan could just say, wow, yes, you know, it'd be his while Heinz is back in New Zealand. But the thing is, if he were like Gregor Mueller, he would say, I've got to own it myself. I've got to have it myself. It's got to be in my name. It's got to be this and it's got to be that, you know. And Gregor loses so much wonderful things in the world because of the fact that he has to own it himself. But Anita, she's off seeing her mother, and she's not even there. And Ellen, I said to Ellen, Ellen, imagine something. A little love, that's enough. And so Ellen imagined her mother. She imagined that she was with her mother, who is long gone. And she, her mother is just there doing all the things that she had her doing all the time. Now, could you be anywhere? Could you do anything? Art?
Yes.
You're on the moon. Now, you have a special space suit which feels light as a feather, like it's made of aqua. And so you are as comfortable as can be, and it is whatever it's necessary to be to keep you in it. as far as a space suit goes, you know, it's got its own pressurized system in it. And so here you are, jumping around like a spring chicken, jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop, because your jumps are pretty good on the moon, you know. And you're just having a great time. So it's time to take off with your spaceship. And so Art's up there all by himself. And so he said, oh, darn, I parked it the wrong direction. I have to turn it around to head toward Earth. And so he reaches down and picks up the spaceship and turns it around the way he wants it because it's so light. You know, his ability to do things is so magnificent up there. And he wouldn't think of doing it except he parked wrong. And so he's parked right now. And so he says, okay, I'll get in, but I don't want to climb the ladder. So he gives a little hop, skip, and a jump, and he's up there in the doorway. You know, why not? Why climb? And so he's in the doorway, and then he says, okay, press the button, the door is closed, and he presses another button, and it says, Art, please sit down. So Art sits down and says, Art, take out your comic book now. We'll be back on Earth in a few moments. You know, not time for a video. Just take out your comic book. So he takes out his comic book, and he's back on Earth. Now, did you take the trip with me?
Of course.
Was he there?
Yes.
Did he jump into a spaceship?
Yes.
Did he turn the thing around by lifting it up?
Of course. Because
it was so light that he could do that?
Uh-huh.
Now, is that real?
Yes.
It's as real as a guy who, on a business trip in Germany, and stays at his palace in Germany, and then he goes home for one night, and he, you know, lays in his bed for 10 seconds, and then he gets up early in the morning because he's got to be on his way, and then he has his personal helicopter take off from the patio and take him to the airport so he can get the personal jet that he's got there, and zip-de-doo, he's back home. But Art, he doesn't do that. Art thinks himself wherever he wants to be. Now, do you want to go around in life thinking about pot bellies and thinking about pork bellies and thinking about beer bellies? Or do you want to go around in life with the perfect imagination that places you anywhere you want to be, doing anything you want to do, and doing it really, so you can really sense it and taste it? Now, Ingeborg has told me that she would like to have this experience, and I think she's very brave. She said she would like the experience of not needing to eat, drink, or whatever else.
Breathe,
yeah. Not needing to drink, eat, or breathe. She thinks she's read about people who've done that, and she thinks that'd be really cool. Now, so can Ingeborg do that right now,
yes.
Right where she is?
Yes.
Can you? Well, how does it feel not to eat, drink, or breathe? How does it feel?
Perfect, because I keep my normal body.
Perfect, because you keep your ordinary body. Ah. Now, why do you keep your ordinary body? Does your ordinary body have to breathe, drink, or eat?
No.
Well, then, why do you want to carry around an ordinary body that needs to eat, breathe, and drink? Or did you create it not needing to eat,
not
breathe,
needing.
And drink? I see. And what's the benefit of having an ordinary body? See, this got to be creative, you know, have a little imagination. What's the benefit of having an ordinary body? Well, I can hug people, and I can talk to people, and I can see them, and they can see me. Well, now,
I'm used to it.
I'm used to it.
And is that the answer? You're used to it? You're accustomed to it? And so you like it because you're accustomed to it. Well, of course, you're accustomed to eating, breathing, and drinking, too. You know? But interesting, isn't it? See, now, we say, the day will come when we do not have to eat, breathe, and drink, and how interesting that'll be. And so what? When that day comes and we don't eat, breathe, and drink, what'll be the situation? Nobody will be eating, breathing, and drinking, and it won't be unusual. It won't be spectacular. Now, do you all jump to the top of the spaceship when you're going to get in? No, only on the moon. It's beneficial only on the moon. Now you say, well, the space people here would like that too, instead of climbing up, and they have elevators that take them up there. they move them up. We are so limited in our thinking. We think the obvious instead of thinking the really obvious, mm-hmm. You know. These guys are worth $3 or $4 million each, you know, and their outfits are worth thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're not going to let them mess them up climbing up a ladder. So they put them on this lift and lift them right to the entrance. They step in, and they usually have a few people close by to see if they don't catch themselves on the door handle or something like that, rip their suit, you know. They're very careful of those things. And so, where's the fun? Where's the fun? Where's Danny Kaye? You know? Where's Danny Kaye? Remember Danny Kaye?
Yes.
The Ugly Duckling? Remember?
Mm-hmm. He played Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen, yeah. And what did he do? He did all the silly, crazy things, falling, jumping, running, and he never hurt himself, and he never really fell down. But everybody thought he did, because he was a clown. He was a master at it. And if anyone else were to try it, they would find that their pot belly would get in the way. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to live your life without imagination, without visualization, without dreaming? Are you going to visualize your life as being so ordinary and so normal? Or are you going to visualize your life as being whatever dream comes to your consciousness, you do it right now. Whatever thought comes to your consciousness, you do it right now. And if you dream of yourself as being Torpsichore, or Adonis, or, you know, any one of the beautiful beings of mythology, then that's what you are. But think about it. Ingeborg wants to keep her human body for a reason. The human body has the sensations. And with the human body, she can hug and she can kiss. And with the human body, she can entertain all of the beautiful smells of lovely steak and lobster and beautiful foods. And she can enjoy all of these things. You see, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Now, if we tell Ingeborg, you don't smell anymore, she'll say, wow, you're making it undesirable. So this is what we want to do. We're the masters of our world. And if we want to go around seeing limitation, if we want to go around seeing pot bellies, then that's the area we're in. But if we're seeing Adonises and Terpsichores, the goddess of dance and the goddess of love, god of love, if we see those things, then that's what we are. That's what we are. I was going down Google's list because it was doing the Gmail and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, as I was going down the iTunes, YouTube in Google, it came upon a bunch of girly things, you know. And these girls were having torrid love pictures and torrid love scenes. And I thought, how did they get there? How did that get there? You know, that's not what I was looking for. And I said, well, it must have been what I was looking for, or it wouldn't have come up. Hmm. And then I had the perfect opportunity to switch over to the other side of the page, which didn't have it. Now, am I tempted to go back to the side that has it? Not really. That's of no interest. If I'm interested in it, then it'll be it. But you see, we're titillated, we're sort of tempted to look at things. We're tempted to see things. And I was looking at the hackers who are working on working programs that are made for the computer so that you can utilize them more efficiently. And I thought, the word hacker is sort of a negative word. And do I want to hang around with hackers? And then finally I listened to what they were doing, and they weren't doing anything interesting. Not at all. And then I went to the magic channel in the computer things, and it was gadgets. And they were throwing their cellular phones into a bottle, a big tank of water, and that the water doesn't disturb the cell phone at all. They shake it, and off goes the water. But then they had another gadget, which I thoroughly loved and didn't spend much time on. And what it was you take your iPhone, iPod, you take your phone probably, your iPod, and you press the button on a little gadget there, and it immediately puts any songs from anywhere onto your iPod. You don't have to go through iTunes to do it. And it puts it on there perfectly. And it also puts it on there in M3, MP3, or it puts it on there in WMA, or any of the various ways. It puts it on in any way you want it. And then it also will take your lectures and your other things and put it on there beautifully. And I thought, wow, isn't that a great object, you know. And then these are things that are coming up. All the things that I was dreaming about, I was attracted to see it. And I didn't finish looking at it because I had to come up. But I know where to find it. I put it on bookmark so I can go back and check it out. But, you know, it's there. It's a lot better than looking at the girlies, you know, because that's just a lot of grunting and groaning. Have you ever watched professional wrestling? Professional wrestling, like sumo wrestling too, the big fat guys in Japan. Wrestling is a big game. It's a show. They're there to entertain the customers. And so they throw each other up in the air and down on the ground. But they have learned to throw them down and look like they're throwing them, but yet to land like a feather. Because if they threw them down like it looks like they did, those guys would be out of business in a short time. They couldn't handle it. It's an illusion. It's a pure illusion. And this is what these sexual things are, pure illusions just to get attention. And this is what a lot of these hacker things are, pure illusion just to get attention and your money. So be very careful. Think your way through life and realize that whatever things you think about, that's what you're going to experience. Now, as for me, I see myself living in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I see myself enjoying life. I see myself surrounded by beautiful people. I see myself experiencing every good and wonderful thing, and I see myself doing this into eternity.
Wow.
Now, anyone else want to come along?
Yes.
Hey.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah,
you're welcome. You're in. You're on the boat, huh?
All right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Not
well,
don't miss that one.
Not only that one, huh?
No, yeah. I don't miss that one.
You don't miss that one. I thought perhaps you had a few additions. Well, that's great. And let's just know that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.
Adios.
Adios.
Adios.